tweet at Today SOR.
I should say, by the way, if you want to have Oliver Callan entertaining you, you'll have to wait till 6:30. We're just a little out of time, so we don't have time for that segment. It's on after drive time at Mary Wilson. Also, by the way, over the weekend, look out or listen out for John Bowman's Saturday, Sunday, 8:30. He's doing a special on Harry Gregg, and there will be extracts in that from an interview that Eamon Dunphy did with Harry. A marvellous interview. And in fact, the whole thing is up on rt.ie/culture. Now, as I say, time for our Friday gathering. The panel is with me in studio. But first, a flavour of the big stories of the past week.
I'm very proud to second the nomination of Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach.
Paul, 36. Neil, 107. 16 abstentions.
I am proud beyond measure to nominate Deputy Micheál Martin for the office of Taoiseach.
Paul, 41. Neil, 97. 19 abstentions.
Nobody in this Dáil can lead that government for change other than Chapter Mary Lou MacDonald.
Paul, 45. Neil, 84. 29 abstentions.
The onus is on those who have made enormous promises of change to the people during this election to bring a programme for government to the Dáil for approval. If they cannot, they should say so and be upfront and honest about their failure and the empty promises they made.
The past is important, and Sinn Féin's efforts to legitimise a murderous sectarian campaign keeps alive a narrative which is used by dissidents to legitimise their campaigns today.
I am deeply concerned by a party and by a leader who sat around a cabinet table with people who were subsequently jailed for corruption. I trust that that is no longer the case within Fianna Fáil. If you keep reaching desperately for the past, it really says that you're not up for the future.
Absolutely bananas that we have some politicians and some political commentators talking about the fact that there may not be a government organised before the end of April or even by May. One TD suggested that there would be an international facilitator put into place, a Boutros-Ghali type figure maybe, to actually sit down and get two political parties to talk to each other.
I've listened to a lot of educated people, but how many of you here have education of life? How many of you here have common sense? Because from what I've been seeing for the last number of years, you lack all of it. And I do believe an ounce of cop-on is better than a stone of brains.
Can I welcome all of the new deputies to the House as well today? Many eminent writers were quoted here today. I'm going to quote Axl Rose, welcome to the jungle. We don't know what exactly is going to happen here over the next couple of weeks and months, but and we all don't know whether to put the posters in front of or behind the turf in the turf shed quite yet.
Well, there's a thought now, and I'm sure they'll have the weekend at least to consider where to put the posters. That compilation by my colleague Niamh Lyons. With me in studio, Lise Hand, journalist and commentator, Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin, Fingal, and member of the Fianna Fáil negotiating team. Patricia McBride is a political commentator, and also here, Hildegard Nocton, Fine Gael TD for Galway West. Lise Hand, how close are we to seeing a new government to take office?
Well, it would be hard to tell from what went on there yesterday, to be honest with you. I mean, it was sort of an odd day. You had all the pageantry and the fun outside the Dáil Chamber, you know, the new TDs arriving and so on, and all the usual sideshows. And then you had a fairly sombre day in the Chamber, which culminated in a very, very bitter exchange of words between Micheál Martin and Mary Lou MacDonald. We heard some of the clips there, which would suggest that they're really, you know, there's an entrenching and hardening of positions on all sides. This, of course, was now swiftly followed by the announcement that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were actually going to sit down and start talking next week. So I don't think we're any closer, but maybe the path is becoming slightly clearer. I think it's still a long way away, but I think now we have seen that under no circumstances will Fianna Fáil, led by Micheál Martin at least, entertain any talks with Sinn Féin, and the door has now been nudged open for Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar to start at least
Patricia
some dialogue.
McBride, would you agree with that? Whatever else is possible, Fianna Fáil led by Micheál Martin will not be doing business with Sinn Féin.
I think Lise is right when she talks about that hardening of positions. But I think what's been interesting is that if you take a step back from the party politics and the very even split that we have across, you know, the three main parties plus the rest, it shows that Ireland has never truly had a radical government, and we're not traditionally, you know, radical as voters. What has happened in this election is simply a shift from the centre right to the centre left. And the question now for TDs is going to be, what are you going to do with what you've been given? You know, there's an onus to form a government, so that is going to have to happen. For Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to go into talks about whether that's some sort of a coalition or a different kind of confidence and supply arrangement is going to, in my view, indicate that there's going to be another election before the end of the year, because that type of arrangement won't work again. The electorate voted against it, and it's a dangerous position to take.
Dara O'Brien. Yeah. What do you say? I mean,
well, Patricia's right. Firstly, it is a fragmented, you know, we've a fragmented doll. There's effectively eight different blocks, and I would agree with you. Actually, it is up to us, as all the 160 who are elected, to try to put something together. The people have voted, and you know, it's our job to try to put together. I think we can a policy program that can be delivered for people. There's been a lot of talk about change, and the word is bandied about. But it's what change actually means, and what people.
But putting Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael working together in government surely would not represent change. That's the argument.
That is the argument. It's a very simplistic argument that's put forward. Whatever happens, what people want, and certainly in Dublin Fingal, in my own area, is delivery on things like on housing, on health, on policing,
and that
on
would
crime.
Be change, would it?
Well, yeah, I think, you see, there was a frustration out there, and a big frustration that people felt we were treading water and or drowning in, particularly in the housing area. Massive frustration with young people not being able to buy homes, people on waiting lists, the homelessness. We know we've discussed these, but I think there's a real opportunity for whatever government is there to actually get on and really deliver. And it's those type of things. It's like the special needs assistance for kids. It's the extra nurses and the consultants that we need. Things that we put forward in our manifesto, which is actually a very radical manifesto and was fully costed and is implementable. So they're the things I think first and foremost, rather than just looking at the. I'll conclude very quickly. Rather than just looking at the pure numbers as about how one would put together a future government, we actually believe the really important thing is actually to put together a policy programme that's deliverable for the people, like on housing, on climate change, on health, those type of things.
Hildegard Nocton, is it plausible or tenable for Fine Gael for much longer to hold to this view? We want to go to opposition. We came back, we've, you know, sort of had our eye wiped by the electorate, and it really is up to Sinn Féin primarily, and Fianna Fáil to a lesser extent, to give us a government. I mean, is that a credible line to take?
Well, I think it is with the outcome of the election, but we have also said that we're willing to step up to the plate to give stability if required. But Sinn Féin have to proceed with these negotiations.
Yeah, but before you step up to the plate, I mean, can you even ask people to believe that would be good for the country, that Sinn Féin leading a government would be a good idea?
Well, we clearly don't have a mandate to lead right now. We said that we met as a parliamentary party and we're ready to go into opposition. But we have to give Sinn Féin, who made all these promises right throughout the election. And don't forget, there was many in the opposition benches who were saying that we Fine Gael needed to get out of government. We were doing a terrible job. And they're the same people now who are now insisting that we go back into government. There is definite hypocrisy around this issue at the moment. So we need to give Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil that time. And I know that might be very frustrating for people listening in here, but we haven't even had 2 weeks, have not even passed since the last election. And these negotiations take time. It took over 70 days for Fine Gael, working with a disparate group back in 2016. And we were told that, you know, we wouldn't be able to form a government, but we did. But it took over 70 days to negotiate this.
Well, look, I hear what Hildegard's saying, but I don't think anyone can just walk away and walk off the pitch.
We're not like walking off the pitch.
I'm just saying, I don't think anyone can just walk off the pitch and say it's up to someone else to do it. We all have a mandate. You know, Fianna Fáil got a very clear mandate from its voters as to what our voters want us to do. But I think now what the public really want is to try to work together to put that programme of government
in. Yeah,
and
look, I was quoting a piece in The Independent earlier this morning and talking to Hugh O'Connell about it. A quote from a senior Fianna Fáil source: Micheál will be inviting Leo to have discussions around the possibility of agreeing a pathway towards forming a coalition between the two parties. Is that what it's about?
Well I think there's a couple of things, right? Firstly, we're meeting with the Greens next week, our negotiating team. We're meeting with the Greens on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll have further meetings with the Social Democrats. My understanding is that there will be an exploratory talks between Micheál and Leo Varadkar as to what can happen next with regard to opening up discussions with that party too. You see, the option, this is going to be complicated, it's going to be difficult. We might get to the end of this and say, sorry, this can't be done. But I think we really need to put our shoulder to the wheel in a very honest way to try to put together...
You're kind of taking me around in circles, talking about shoulders to the wheel. Well, I mean, I asked you a question, is it about Micheál and Leo?
Yeah, it is. I answered it. Didn't I answer? Sorry, I spoke yesterday. Maybe you weren't listening to me. Well,
no,
let me answer it again.
So. No, I think you're spot on there. No, look, this is, you know, we have this. It's a mixture of, you know, the circular firing squad and the fingers of blame and all the usual things we hear. You know, the only way that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil really are going to have any chance of selling this as some kind of change, I think, and this is, I think, the scary thing for both of them, is they do understand the risk that if they do go into coalition together, and it would have to be a coalition rather than another confidence and supply, I think, that there is a damn good chance that they will never come out of it again as two separate parties. Mm. You know, you can see, you've seen the vote share, you know, they're both the major parties' vote share declined to the point where they probably really do have the vote share of one major party. So, you know, they understand the risks going into that. Now, whether they could, there is a coalition that can be built solely around the issue of housing and homelessness, whether that is the glue that could hold together a coalition
housing,
and everything else.
Housing, homelessness, health,
and health.
Crime.
Climate so the change. Three, yeah, the three H's and crime. And whether you could build a kind of a, you could park the ideological differences and all the civil war politics and build a practical coalition around that, which might be a face-saving way of doing it, but it's going to be a very hard sell, not only to the electorate, but to their own parties.
Yeah. Patricia, yeah.
That's all very well and good, and it's theoretically, it's a wonderful idea, because those are the issues that the electorate voted on. But I've heard I hear the two political representatives here talking about who they're negotiating with and who they're talking to. We have to remember who they're not talking to. The party that has, you know, the largest share of the popular vote, and that is Sinn Féin. And it's, you know, it's not possible, I don't believe, to build that type of policy-based coalition or government of you know, government by agreement, unless you include a party that has 25%.
Are you saying
of the
Sinn Féin has to be in government or else it's no good?
No, what I'm saying is the type of arrangement that Lise is suggesting, where we have a coalition that is based on issues where some ideological
matters.
Well,
this is only in the absence of any dialogue with Sinn Féin.
But you can't, I mean, but the whole issue through this campaign, and I was baffled yesterday hearing the speeches in Leinster House. I mean, it was one thing during the campaign for Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar to, you know, to bash Sinn Féin with the spectre of the Boys of the Old Brigade. But when they're going into Leinster House yesterday and they're bashing Mother Ireland, as she has now become in the faces of the electorate, it is not sitting well. The tactic did not work.
Ireland?
This is Mary Lee MacDonald, okay. when she has taken
stop?
On this.
Would
this is
stop?
Something. I was
I know she might be the mommy to the Sinn Féin.
No, she was. This was something that was coming up that on the, if you looked at the campaign and people were saying to her, and I saw the footage on the street, were saying, you know, we need a mother figure, we need
well,
a woman
okay,
in
look,
power.
Let's not go mad here, right?
But
okay,
it is
sorry,
not
Patricia.
Playing well where it you're just, continuing.
No,
it didn't work during the campaign, so why are political leaders continuing with this attack?
Okay, well, I think political leaders are entitled to put forward their point of view, and we've been very clear on it. What I would say when you talk about issues, and particularly delivery on housing, when you actually look at the policies that Sinn Féin have put forward on housing, and Ón Oibrín's a talented spokesperson, but when you look at what it's built on, it's actually built on sand. You have a 4 billion magicked up from NAMA that will deliver social housing somehow, a 22 billion euro tax and spend policy, double what anyone else was saying. And that wasn't interrogated during the election. This is important. So when you talk about policy positions, we want to deliver 50,000 affordable and 50,000 social housing over 5 years. We can do it. No, but this is important, Sean.
You were in that election campaign.
I don't think, to be honest, that independently, that their housing policy in particular was actually independently interrogated when you look at where the money comes from, because it doesn't add up.
Okay, but what that's the point that would be shared, I suspect, by you, Hildegard Nocton, and Fine Gael.
And we were very clear to our supporters that we wouldn't go in with Sinn Féin. We have to stand by that. There's 450,000 people who voted for us, and at every door, or many doors, maybe not every door I was asked, will Fine Gael go into government with Sinn Féin? And we said no, so we have to stand by that.
I wanted to move on and talk to you about the common ground that may exist between yourselves and Fianna Fáil. Do you see any insurmountable obstacles there to forming a programme for government?
Well, what we've mandated the Taoiseach to do is to have exploratory talks, and he will understand he's meeting with Micheál Martin early next week, and we will meet then after that as a parliamentary party on foot of his discussions, Leo's discussions with Micheál Martin, to see what this, the status, the state of play is. And we will then, as a parliamentary party, will, I suppose, advise the Taoiseach in relation to how we as a party.
Yeah, and then you get into last resort language and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, can Fine Gael walk back from the offer of a coalition that was made to Micheál Martin by Leo Varadkar in the very first debate?
Yeah, he made that offer in the at that debate, but then we have to look at the outcome of the election. And I go back, I know people feel that we're repeating ourselves, but Sinn Féin won the popular vote and Fianna Fáil the most seats. So that's the first step. The first step is there, and they have an onus on them to form a government.
The two clear messages to Micheál Martin were he wouldn't form a government with Sinn Féin and he wouldn't form a government with Fine Gael. So he's not, we're now, it's okay if he walks away from one of those pledges. Form a government with Fine Gael, but not for the other. He won't form a government with Sinn Féin.
I respect, and we respect everyone that voted on every party's mandate. Okay, I sat in this studio and others back in 2016.
But some votes are more respected than others.
Actually, no, not true. But back in 2016, when we doubled the number of seats we have, I don't remember being asked about or there being, you know, sort of this drive to say, well, Fianna Fáil must be in government because
I'm just asking, is one pledge more immutable than the other?
I think it's about compatibility for me. Okay. And it is about compatibility and on policy, because what people really want to see is the delivery that we're talking about. So the next government, by the way, whoever it is going to have to deliver. And votes aren't permanent either. There hasn't been, we've seen shifts and waves in previous elections too. But what I really think now, it's incumbent upon us to do our level best to put together a programme that will work for the people on the areas that we've discussed.
And do you accept it should be a coalition government?
Well, it's far too early. I can't answer that because I don't know, because we haven't started those negotiations. We'll be meeting with the Greens.
Well, you see, this is where I go back to the question that you said you answered and I said you didn't, at least agreed with me.
What was that?
Is it about agreeing a pathway towards forming a coalition between the two parties?
I think it's agreeing a pathway to actually see what can't, like obviously as Hildegard has said, they're going to, their exploratory talks, I can't tell you any more than that, because that's what they are. Because obviously, Leo Varadkar... Well,
clearly, you're not the senior sorcerer, if you were.
I'm not.
It was interesting to watch the dynamics, the different dynamics in the Dáil yesterday, because for the first time, we did have three party leaders as basically addressing each other as equals. And you could see, you had Mary Lou, not just MacDonald, not just acting as, the spokesperson or the leader of a third party. You know, she was in there fighting the good fight, putting a case, her case forward to go into government. And there is a huge level of public interest at this at the moment. Mm-hmm. We've all seen, people are avidly consuming anything, any news about this. How long that lasts, of course, is another question as well. Public patience will wear out. The last time it took 70-odd days to put together a government, and it was a bit of a novelty then, and a novelty thing came out of it, as in the confidence in supply. This time is different. And, you also have to factor in the possibility of events as well. I mean, ironically, for Leo Varadkar, the caretaker Taoiseach, Brexit is about to move back in stage. Talk about bad timing. But, it is possibly...
The first half is being replayed, apart from...
First half, and there could be a long injury time on this one. But, once again, we're going to see over the next few months, Brexit now is genuinely going to move back stage, having taken a bit of a backseat for the last while. And there's a slightly probably more sense of urgency this year than there was 4 years ago, the formation of the government, when there was no great spectres on the horizon. So there is a sense of urgency imbued in the three parties to actually rule themselves in or rule
and
themselves
out. And the irony
out.
Is that it wasn't a big issue during the election. We were trying to raise it. I held a public meeting on Brexit in Galway during the election, not knowing there was going to be an election at the time, but it wasn't an issue that people were focusing on, be it opposition, be it media, but Brexit is. It's on our doorstep. There's a real irony around this.
Oppositions has been done. Yeah. Can we see a government in place by the end of March?
Yeah, I think if there's a will there, I don't see any reason why not.
Hildegard?
If people knuckle down and are really serious about forming a government, I think it is possible if they're serious about it.
Are they not on something of a fast track, Patricia, given that Micheál Martin basically saying to Sinn Féin last night, look, we respect your mandate, but sorry, not you.
Well, public patience is going to be wearing very thin very, very quickly if any government formation talks mean a return to the status quo of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil sharing power to the exclusion of everyone else.
Well, it's not to the exclusion. It's not to an exclusion. That's not how a parliamentary
democracy
works.
Do you see no difference between what operated for the last 4 years and an actual coalition? Do you not see that there's a massive difference?
But the reality was that Fianna Fáil had the opportunity to hold Fine Gael to account through the confidence and supply agreement for 4 years, and they didn't.
I tell just want to make one point. There's no exclusion of anyone. We're in a Dáil of 160 TDs that are there. Every party can put forward its point, particularly in a fragmented Dáil where people can bring forward bills and legislation, can affect change as well. And I think on areas like on housing, I particularly would like to see a trans-governmental approach on that, a national plan to deal with housing that would transcend governments. And that can be done. We've worked well at committees across parties, and there's been some good work done at a lot of our OCTUS committees. So I don't see any reason. No one's excluded.
A pan-national front.
Well, you're excluding people if you're saying you want the people's front of Judea or something going on there.
You see, this idea, though, I think this does need to be debunked, because Sinn Féin are pushing this out that there's some exclusion. No, there's not. People have voted. It's a parliamentary democracy, and parties get together and talk about trying to put together a government and electing a Taoiseach. That's how it works.
And whatever arrangement comes up with 80 votes is as valid as any other one.
Just because it may not suit Sinn Féin, it doesn't make it the case that it's wrong in some instance. It's not. That's how democracy works.
Lise Hand, to change the subject to coronavirus and COVID-19, back in the headlines, I suppose, you know, with more force during the week, because Irish citizens tens of thousands of miles away in Japan have been found to have tested positive for this. But again, a lot of focus on whether we're ready or can we ever be ready for actually having an outbreak here on this island.
Yeah, well, I know that, you know, the Department of Health have, you know, been fairly proactive in saying that they are, as they describe it, well rehearsed in deploying various protocols at airports and so on to deal with any confirmed case. You know, they've tested 78 people so far in Ireland, and they've all come back negative. You would think, given the amount of travel between Ireland and everywhere else, given that we're an island, that it would be a matter of time. The readiness, I don't know. I think it's interesting as well that a lot of Chinese who are coming in and out of here, maybe who are resident here, they have, whether they've been nowhere near any of the affected areas or not, have been self-isolating, just as a precaution within their own community, I think, which is very interesting. And I also think it's a bit sad that a lot of the Chinese businesses have been saying that they've been affected by this because Irish people are staying away. And I think that's a real shame, because, you know, there's absolutely no need for that. You know, it's one of those things. We won't know we're ready until it happens. Mm. You can only put so many plans in place.
What are you saying, Hildegard Nocton? I mean, like, the government has only so much control over something like this. Level of preparedness.
So the HSC and the Department of Health are having weekly meetings. They're adhering to the protocols. The advice is that if anyone suspects that they have any symptoms, that they contact their GP, and the GPs then make a clinical judgment.
Should they not be meeting more often than weekly?
Well, they're meeting as often as weekly. And Minister Simon Harris was in Brussels meeting his counterparts at a European level, met with the European Commissioner and other health ministers across Europe. But this, we're being very vigilant. And as Lisa said, 78 cases or suspected cases have been dealt with very well here in Ireland. And really it is down to, and there is contact between the HSE and the GPs now, and the GPs are using their clinical judgment. So we have to be vigilant. And it is an obvious danger, but we have to just ensure that we continue with these protocols and isolation units within the hospitals as required.
The message seems to be let there be no panic, Patricia. And well, not that panic is ever going to solve anything.
No, panic will never solve anything. And I think if we look at the lessons that we learned during the foot and mouth epidemic on an all-island approach to managing health risk, that's something that's come back into play in a very positive way as a result of this outbreak. But if we were to have an outbreak of COVID-19 in Ireland, we wouldn't be able to manage it because we can't manage healthcare as it currently stands. When you look at the number of trolley waits, when you look at people who are not receiving health care, who are in urgent need, what do we do? Do we have the facilities to isolate people who would become infected? Do we have the nursing staff and the medical staff to take care of them? And the answer to that is patently no. So that's why, going back to where we started, the wheel comes full circle. Government needs to be formed so that the all-party agreement on Sláinte Care can be implemented, so there's a decent health service.
And knowing you're looked at, O'Brien, you could be the next Minister for Health, and, you know, on your second day in office, you get
COVID-19. It's the nature of life in politics.
Absolutely, and look, it is very serious. It's a serious threat to health and to human health. It you know, you look at the mortality rate that this virus actually has. It's absolutely a danger. We have had advance notice. I don't think there's any excuse not to be prepared, to be honest. Obviously, we don't know if it happens, what the scale of that will be. But not only is it a threat and a risk to health and the health of the nation, also if you look at supply chains into the future, how this can complicate things, an economic threat as well that's there that we have to be able to see down to the, you know, into the future. But it's something we need to be prepared for.
OK, look, my thanks to you all. Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil TD, Lys Hand, journalist and commentator, Patricia McBride, political commentator, and Hildegard Nocton, Fine Gael TD for Galway West.